Jack had no idea that that was, growing up, that song was one of my favorites. Yeah, so yeah, that's right. I'm just thankful this morning. I just really am. It's just it's a beautiful day. It's cool, but not I'm not cold, and I have not had cool yet this summer. I'm thankful for the spirit that's been here in the camp this week. Collectively, together, we have explored and learned and journeyed, and I'm thankful that we're getting ready to lift off. The Lord Himself has provided a little bit for us this morning. Let me rephrase that, because He provides it all the time. But the Lord led me to a text this morning using what I consider to be a minor miracle. As we were leaving morning meditation, which was great. Is Aunt Anders is gone now, isn't he? Yeah, well, thank you, Anders. Lord, we bless him as he goes. As we left morning meditation, Sarah McCaffrey, or Elizabeth, well, it was both, Wetzel. The McCaffrey-Wetzel family. the what? McCarthy. What did I say? Yeah. McCaffrey? I meant McCarthy. That's right. That's why I use first names. Yeah. So anyway. Elizabeth came running down, and I thought she was in a panic, it seemed, and I thought that there was something wrong. I'm like, uh-oh, you know, heart attack or something. And so, and she said, look, 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 eagle, eagle, eagle. And we looked up in the sky, and there was one lone bald eagle flying. And we began to sing, He'll raise you up on eagle's wings. We won't sing the whole thing. We could, but it would be good, but we're not going to. So I was reminded of the verse in Isaiah that we'll read here in just a moment. One of my favorite parts about this verse is that the book of Isaiah is divided into two very distinct parts. And the first 39 chapters of the book are about God's judgment on His people for not living the way He had called them to live. And then all of a sudden you hit chapter 40 and it changes. And it's the promise of comfort to His people. And so at the very end of that first chapter of comfort, I'm going to pick up in chapter 40, verse 27 is where I'll start. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? The nation of Israel had been divided at this point into two separate parts. And the reasons for that are, you know, there's a myriad of reasons for that. One of, you know, you have Jacob that was a little bit more what we would call worldly and just kind of wandering off, but God still identified them as His own. And then you had the nation of Israel, and the other part of the kingdom that He called Israel. And so God is speaking to both parts of His kingdom. And I am intentionally tying down the two parts of God's kingdom today in our presence here. The two parts of our kingdom as we exist together as the body. Okay? You with me? Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you felt that way before coming to camp, that your cause may have been disregarded by God, that maybe the situation that you were in, God just hadn't been listening? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. For me, that eagle flying this morning was God's promise that he had fulfilled exactly what I believe he, what I was led to share with you this week, as I've led about the empowering of the Spirit and the new season of life that he wants to give us as we agree to abide in love with one another and with the world around us as we leave this place. As we do that, we will run and not be weary. We won't faint. There's a new season for us. Okay, you hear me? Enough. So we're going to practice that just a little bit this morning. I talked about last night, I said that we're going to take some people to Jesus. And we all come to Jesus in different ways. We get to him through our own path. And like I mentioned earlier in the week, we tend to do that through our own woundedness, that it's usually our woundedness that kind of forms the gutter, the route, if you will, because that's all we know when we're first attempting to get to him. And so all we have is to kind of react and respond from that place. But as we get to him and allow him to heal and move, all of a sudden the path widens and it broadens, and we get a clearer picture of who he is and what it is that he does in our lives. There is, let me see if I can say this. There's, what am I trying, Lord? Do I need to nail that down, Lord? No, it's simple. You guys are there. Some of us will choose social service because in our lives nobody paid attention to us and met our practical needs, and so we respond to the Lord's calling on our lives by reaching out in very practical ways. And feeding the homeless, clothing people who don't have clothes, just meeting very practical needs. And that is a part of Jesus, and that can help get us there. Others of us will have gone a more mystical route. And by the way, the Spirit of the Lord is never interrupted by the spirit of a child. Okay. She's welcome to stay. It is perfectly fine. It is. You're welcome to take her out too, but she's welcome to stay. Yeah. You can do what you want to do, but I'm fine, and so is the Spirit of the Lord in the room.
Amen.
So, okay. Yeah. Some of us will choose a more mystical approach, and sometimes that scares another part. Those of us who have not had that approach, it will scare. And we need to press in with the body, with each other, to understand how it is that the mystics are getting to the Lord. Because the mystics have a very unique and important part in the body, and I do consider myself a Christian mystic. I don't know that I need to give it that term. I don't know that I need to give myself... I use phrases jokingly, like when I said I was a closet charismatic. I don't know that I need to actually define that, but it helps, using those kinds of words, help you guys understand who I am. What I do know is that as I get closer to Jesus, he gets bigger, I become more healed, and I'm freer and I'm able to be and experience more of these roads that I'm talking about. So we have social service, we have the mysticism, and then we have, you know, cerebral head knowledge, the word, people who really just identify with and enjoy reading scripture and other books to help them understand who God is. That is another way that we can get there. But I can promise you that as we move into healing, as we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell, which he does, but also to empower and just speak to us in those moments, we get bigger. The vessel grows. That's the unique miracle about what Jesus does with us, is that the vessel actually gets bigger. We in our capacity to receive and understand grows. Okay. So then. So when I say things like we're going to take people to Jesus, sometimes there is a fear that I'm going to go about it a very specific or certain way. And I just want to alleviate that fear this morning. Because we get to Jesus in ways that are bigger than the words. A deaf mute is able to understand the love of the Holy Father. Okay? They can't say the sinner's prayer. They have never heard it, but they can know God. And so I believe that the words, for some of us, are very important. For others of us, not as much. And that's okay, because that's the path that you're on. There we go. Thank you, Lord. We need to clear the slate, what I like to say. So we're going to come back to the prayer that I introduced to you earlier. And, you know, you're welcome to close your eyes or not close your eyes. The important thing is that you are aware of and present with the Lord in this moment as we pray. So just repeat after me and do your best to mean it. Because prayer is about meaning it, not about repeating the words, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce all false spirits that block his love from flowing in and through my life. I receive the love of the Father right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Was it easier for you guys this time? Like, did it seem like in that prayer there wasn't as much to get rid of? That's the sense I had just now, but you may have had a different experience, and that's fine. Just seemed, you know, we've been at this for a week, and there just wasn't as much to clear. There may still be, and if there needs to be some clearing, you can go ahead and continue to clear that. I'm also aware that there are things that may not only block, but may imitate God's love in our lives. And I'm going to say this, and you need to ask the Lord about it, but I believe that Satan will gladly cure us of the common cold if by doing so he will give us cancer. Satan will gladly cure us of the common cold if by doing so he can give us cancer. And so I do believe that there may have been some healing that has happened in the lives of some people that is good and has grown you and has brought you to a place where you feel like you're closer to the Lord. But just be aware that very moment of healing, that very type of healing, may have in some ways also bound you. Okay? I'm just throwing it out there. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for true healing. We thank you for you and you alone and all of who you are in our presence and in our midst here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I would like you, remember the person that I asked you to think about, to consider? Let's just take 30 seconds here to consider Just get quiet. And who is the person that you believe the Lord wants you to bring to Jesus? Who is that person? Okay. Now I want you, to the best of your ability, in your mind's eye, and for me it works best if I actually close my eyes on this one, but you don't have to. Take that person to Jesus in your mind. Even if you can't picture like an actual person, like I do not normally picture a physical body of Jesus. I get a sense of his power, and that's what I'm taking them to usually. But however you are able or capable and comfortable doing that, do that. Take this person to the Lord right now. And just watch how they change. What sense do you have of what the Lord wants to do with and through them? And how do they change as they encounter the living God? Is there something that Jesus would speak to them? Or is there something that he would have them do? Amen. How many of you saw the person change? How many of you saw a physical change in the person? I don't always get that, but usually it's kind of an emotional thing that's going on. But sometimes I get an actual physical, I see the person changing. Okay. We hold each other. Every relationship that we have, we do our best to determine and to identify who each other are, is, what's the proper verb tense there? We are. Who we are. We try to identify who we are. And it's a necessary part of relationship, because there is no relationship without at least some kind of identification and an ability to connect. I shouldn't say there's no relationship, because there is, but that's a whole nother talk. That's another time. But identifying each other and, in our mind, we will hold somebody in a specific way. What I mean is that we will look at one another and identify something in them that resonates within us. Okay? A simpler way to put it is, you spot it, you got it. And from that place, we choose, as David has kind of mentioned, whether to go to our insane place or go to our, what's the other, David? Or sane place, okay. I was thinking it was a little more holy than that, like divine or something. But we choose. Real quick, just to kind of help you with this. In the Garden of Eden, remember I told you my daughter's name is Eden. In the garden, there were two trees. Do you remember what they were? There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't the tree of good and evil, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I believe that we still today have the ability to choose which tree to eat from. And when we are abiding in the Spirit, that Spirit calls us to dine from the tree of life, to enjoy that fruit. But when we go to our insane place, knowledge of good and evil, we begin to confine and box in and hold people in a certain place because it makes us comfortable, because it makes our world understandable, because that way it's easier for us to operate. You with me? Okay. When we do the exercise that we just did and we take people to Jesus, sometimes inside of us we notice a shift. And I think if I were to ask you, what changed in you? I think in that moment, as we do that, we become more comfortable with that person because we know, we become aware that Jesus is in charge. And so we're freed up in that moment to let go of who we think they are and really allow the Lord to impart His identity on them. You tracking? Within families, particularly, we do the holding in much stronger ways than we do with strangers. You may come from a family that you're the black sheep. You may be in your family the white knight. I'm not sure that Jesus would have either one of those identities for you. I think there's usually kind of a balance most of the time. I know definitely, I shouldn't say that He wouldn't have that for you, but I will say that He wants to process you through that into the wholeness that I talked about at the very beginning, the wholeness of who He is in us. So, becoming aware of how you hold people is big. For me, it was big. Because of that gift of discernment that I had, I was very prone to judgment. I was very prone to hold people because it allowed me to control. Even without them knowing, it allowed me to feel like I was the one in the power position. And that's not what God calls us to. God is in the power position. He is the one who has the authority over us all. And so my job now is to release them into the person of Jesus Christ, to release them into all that God would have for them, to release them into His highest and best. I'm a realtor, and I have a fair number of listings. I'm fairly successful at what I do. This year has been a tough year. Don't know what that's about. I'm asking the Lord about it. I'm getting a little bit of clarity on that. We won't have time to hear all that. So I'm not sure that I could speak to it because I'm still kind of processing through it with the Lord right now. Invite me back. You'll probably hear a little bit about it because I know it's going to be good. Now at least I'm aware it's going to be good. But I wasn't there just even a month ago. I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know where you are right now in the financial aspects of life. However, I'm a realtor, and in the event that I get in this market, the rare circumstance where multiple offers come in on one of my listings, it's my job, I have what's called a fiduciary relationship to my client, meaning I have to keep their best interest in mind at all times. I have a duty to be a little bit of a bulldog sometimes. Now, I'm not mean, but if I have two offers come across on one listing at the same time, I will commonly write a counteroffer that is very similar. Sometimes the terms will change just a little bit depending on the parties and, you know, what they have submitted. But most of the time, the price that I put out there is the same. Like what I return back to them, say, hey, this is what I really want, or what my seller really wants. And I will oftentimes include a phrase that says, present your highest and best. And it just cuts through all the riffraff. I don't want to go through the process of six counters. I don't need to waste my client's time. I don't need to waste the buyer's time. Present your highest and best, and let's get on with it. God has done that for us. He has given His highest and best in Jesus. We have been bought with His highest and His best. We can choose to dine from that tree of life and say, yes, I accept it. Or we can choose to say, nope, I like the control. Nope, I much prefer to organize my world in such a way that you are not allowed to tell me which offer is better for myself. And He allows us that ability to actually make that choice. So do we want to release people into the Lord? Or do we want to maintain control? And I've touched on, and I think you're aware of, but I'll throw it out there, that in reality, we have no control at all anyway. All we are doing is stopping ourselves from growing. All we are doing is holding them in judgment or holding them in whatever pattern. You ever use that phrase? Well, there's a history. There's a track. The person, they have a track record. So of course I'm going to hold them there because they've deserved it, because they've earned it by repetition over and over and over again. They deserve to be held there. Maybe. It's not about them. It's about you growing into all that God would have you become, because we need to dine from the tree of life. So then, we are now going to do that with ourselves. Having been made aware that God changes us when we take people to Jesus, we're actually going to just take ourselves into the presence of the Lord right now. So make yourself comfortable as best you can. And take yourself to the Lord right now, into His presence, and be aware of what changes happen in you. Does Jesus say something to you? Does He ask you to do something, or are you just aware that you need to do something? And if so, do it. Amen. How many of you feel changed? It's time to lift off and soar on the eagle's wings that He's given us. Camp is not yet over. We still have a little bit of time to practice, but it is not, I know for me, for years, there was always a little bit of fear about, well, now camp's over and I got to go back to the circumstance. This is the intended reality, people. That is not the intent. This is the kingdom. We're called to live in the kingdom. We're called to go out and become and be and allow the Lord to be in us life to everyone that we encounter. The checker at the grocery store, the attendant at the gas station, that really difficult person in your workplace. And we have the ability to choose where we will hold them. We have the ability to choose whether or not we will be instruments of God's highest and best in their lives, or whether or not we will continue to be comfortable and hold them where they are. Release your concept not only of who Jesus is and what He wants to be in your life, but release your concept of who they are. And call forth, you'll notice by doing that, you will call forth their God-given potential. And you, just by refusing to hold them in the identity you've been holding them in, you will move them into the kingdom. It works. It also takes some practice, and it is difficult, and it's okay if you find yourself falling back into those patterns. Then come back to the prayer about, I renounce false spirits that block your love from flowing in and through my life. Because we will come back to our own patterns. We'll come back to our own grooves and ruts. But the more that we go about this, where we get clear with the Lord and we bring people to Him, it changes the environment around us. Refuse to hold them in any identity other than what God speaks about who they are. refuse to hold them under any identity other than what God speaks about who they are. Because the Lord has a bigger call on all of our lives. But the body and the way that we interact helps bring forth that calling. As iron sharpens iron, we grow in Him. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you that we have been released to see people how you see them. We thank you, Lord, that we have been given the promise of the eagle's wings. Help us to lift off from this place and make us aware that you're not quite finished, that we have time to practice, and we still have another glorious talk from David. I pray that you would anoint that time tonight and that you would prepare our hearts to receive everything that you would want us to receive in that message tonight, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.